You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. Sadly, I'm not in downtown Green Bay tonight because of the weather. Be careful out there, folks. It is ugly. Coming up in just a few minutes, Rob Thomas, Madison film critic, who is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. We'll talk to Rob. He's one of our best pals here at Nightlight. And Bridget checked in on the text line and said the NCAA tournament is her favorite as well. So I would say the NCAA tournament is leading the way. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite sporting event? And I, Conrad and I both say the NCAA tournament. And Scott Klase, our guest, who is joining us from the show Bosch. It's not like he's on the set or anything. He's probably at home kicking back, stretching out for the tournament tomorrow, but he is with us as well. And that is also his favorite sporting event too. So nice when the guests and all the texters and the hosts align. Scott, it's so great to have you here, buddy. It's great to hear your voice. I want to tell you that since I'm doing the show from home tonight, both kids happen to be home today.
Oh, you're...
It's a spring
Kate
break.
And Joe?
Yes, and
okay,
they're all upstairs listening, and we're like, we can't believe we're listening to Scott Klase right now. So tomorrow I'm going to call you and let's catch up because I want to know what's going on with you guys as well. So
would love to.
Hey, yeah.
Real quick, are you a Wisconsin Badger fan?
I am. I grew up in Chicago for the first like 12 right. years of my life, and I was an Illinois fan. And I lived in Wisconsin for high school, and then I would come to visit here as a kid, and I just loved Wisconsin. I switched to the Badgers probably about mid-90s because Illinois ticked me off so much. Like, they got so close in hoops. They had some great
right.
hoop teams.
Yes,
their football team
did.
Was terrible. But Wisconsin built such a great program here, it was hard not to be a fan. We can't quite get into the upper echelon like Ohio State is, but I'm hoping, you know, maybe at some point.
I think they have a really good team this year. I think they're going to be one of my 10 teams. I'm going to do four entries, one with Flynn, one with Delaney, and two myself. But I'm going to pick Wisconsin at least two of them. I know they're only a three
nice.
Seed, but yeah. I like their makeup. I like the way they play.
I do too. They can be very boring at times, but this year with picking up Tanjay, they're just a fun team.
Tanjay, Jiminy Christmas. I didn't even heard of that guy.
I didn't either before this year. And now, but now here's the thing. We're in the same region with Duke, who I just want to scream because in 2015, I host a show on PBS TV here in Wisconsin too.
Right.
And I had a recording day and I brought my kids with me in 2015. They were still pretty young, but I said, this is going to be amazing. Madison is going to be insane. You guys are coming with me. And then they had the game and they blew it. And every year it seems like they're in the same region with Duke and I want to pull my hair out.
Well, I tell you, the only way they'll play Duke is it would be to go to the Final Four.
Yeah.
They'd meet in the regional final. So, boy, exactly. That would be nice, though. I think they could take – they play really good defense, your Badgers. That's one thing that always bodes well in the tournament, if they can really get stops. So, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And you know what? I don't want to – I'm not saying this will happen, Scott, but I do still have 4 years of eligibility. If it ever came to that with the NCAA.
If they need you. Only if they need you.
I'm here if the phone rings. That's all I'm saying. Let me ask you something. Okay, so you're the Watch Commander. You play Mank on Bosch Legacy, which drops March 27th. Very exciting. Who have been some of your favorite actors? You have over 100 credits, Scott. You work with some really cool people. Who have been some of the best actors and directors you've worked with?
Boy, that's a good one. Well, obviously, I'm a little biased towards one particular actor on Bosch, and that's Titus. Titus is one of those guys, I'd seen him a million times, but he's just, there's a saying, if number one on the call sheet, basically meaning the star, is a happy person, it'll be a happy set. And, you know, that's one of the reasons we've been around so long. He sets the tone. he's very talented, but he's also just a talented human being as a person.
Boy, that's interesting you say that, because he plays such a good curmudgeon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the fact that you just said he's happy, I think Jamie McShane, who was on the show a couple of weeks, said the same thing about him. Like, people love this guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what my manager said when I first was offered the gig. I said, what do you know about this guy? She goes, I don't know a lot about him other than he's got one of the best reputations in town. And I was like, really? So, Jamie, boy, there's a, yeah, Jamie McShane. There's an actor who you'll see me with on this coming season, who I've been with before a few times. He came back for this season of Bosch Legacy. He hasn't been around on every season of Bosch. His name is Paul Calderon. Do you know Paul Calderon?
Yeah, he plays Jimmy Robertson, right?
Jimmy Robertson.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a really good actor. We have a scene together in this season that is probably in my top three of all my Bosch scenes. Like, I just have a phenomenal scene with him. That's fantastic. Even the producers and some of the other folks who were involved in editing and putting it together and see the shows ahead of time have, you know, called me and said, hey, you got to check that. It really turned out great. So I'm really excited to see that. He's been in everything. I mean, he was in King of New York with Christopher Walken and Pulp Fiction. He's the bartender. He's a really great guy. He's a New Yorker.
Everything he's in, he kind of elevates it. He's like one of those actors, you know.
He brings cachet to whenever he shows up.
For sure.
Obviously, you knew about the Seinfeld thing and where I was on this series finale of Seinfeld years ago. It's like my third job in LA. That probably had the most impact on me because I was just newly here. I had done some things, but nothing like that. And I likened it to being at, like, Shelley, who's my wife for your listeners, being at her high school reunion, because everybody on the finale had done the show before. They brought all those characters back. And I was like one of the only guys on the show that had never done the show before. And it was just, I was just like sitting and watching and just being fascinated by just all of them, you know. It was a great experience for me.
That's so cool to have that as a credit and get on the last show. We have another guest who's on frequently named Johnny Beaner, great comic. He was the last comic booked on Letterman.
Really?
So, like, he got in just under the wire. I love hearing stories like that. So, and what is Seinfeld? Like, maybe the greatest sitcom ever. So that's awesome.
I still watch it. You know, it still holds up. I mean, I hung out with Keith Hernandez and Jerry Stiller pretty much every day. Jerry Stiller was one of my favorites, and he was just happy somebody knew who he was, you know, when you get to be that age. Yeah, you would think, oh, people don't want you to come up and say, you know, stuff like, oh, I really enjoy your work. Trust me, 90% of the people do. They like that. They like hearing that, you know? We're all looking for validation of some kind.
Sure. Well, here, I'll tell you this story that you'll remember. I think we actually touched on this last time you were here, but talk about validation. You and I were at a Dodgers game with the kids, and we're leaving, and this humongous, like, gangbanger-type guy, face and neck tattoos, piercings, comes up to you, and I think this guy's going to take a swing at you. I'm like, what did Scott do while I went to the bathroom or something? But this guy just walks up, and he tells you you're, like, his favorite actor. It's like the greatest story.
Every muscle in my body turned to stone. I thought, oh, my God, this is it. This is how
how it ends.
Local man killed a Dodger game, film at 11.
Oh, that's fantastic. Scott, one more question before we let you go. What director is out there that you would do anything to work with as an actor?
That's an easy, I can answer that without even thinking about it. His name is David Fincher. Love his films. You know, I saw Seven the day it came out. I was in New York City. We were visiting Shelley's sister over Thanksgiving. I don't know what year it was, but it was late 90s, I think. And it was raining out in New York. And I went to the afternoon showing of it. And I was so, I realized at one point I was sitting on the very edge of my chair, like leaning towards the screen. And I was so blown away by that movie. I've seen all of his films many times. I just really think he's one of the best out there. And Jamie's worked with him. Jamie McShane has worked with him. He did that Mank speaking, talk about synchronicity. You know, he Mankiewicz. He in that movie.
That's
Mank.
Right.
Yeah.
He said he's got a part on Bosch Legacy this season. Just maybe a couple episodes. I don't know. He plays the same character, so I don't know if you guys are in the same episode, but that's kind of cool.
We are, but we don't cross paths. But I do talk about him, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my character talks about him. Yeah,
all the more reason.
I'm aware of him.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And you're. I think we talked about this last time too, folks. If you haven't seen Bosch, and you want to see Scott, he's in one of my favorite scenes on Bosch, season three, I think it is, right kind of towards the end of the season. It's the one we discussed this last time briefly, Scott, where Jerry gets shot there's a rescue, and he manages, he's laying dying in his driveway, manages to get to his phone, and you're the one he calls, the watch commander, and you're rifling through the find his address and call, and you're talking to him, tell him to stay, hang in there. It was great acting, buddy. It was just, it was amazing.
That had a thank you, by the way. First of all, I still remember the director of that, Ernest Dickerson. But we did this thing where, like, I'm joking around with people in the precinct when the phone initially rings, and I answer the phone, and I'm almost like saying something to somebody else, like, "Yeah, then what did he do?" And it's, you know, Jerry on the other line. And when I finally realize it's him and he's been shot, I've seen this in other movies. I slowly stand up, like, you know, to kind of figure out what's going on, and the camera goes up with me. I just think it's a cool shot, and it just kind of brings everything, like almost like when somebody's in a hallway and all of a sudden the hallway, like, you know, goes on forever, like something they do with the camera. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know when exactly what you're talking about.
And I love stuff like that. But
and I watched it. I've watched the scene several times. My son Joe and I watched it. You know, he's interested in acting and all this. So we that one scene, it is my favorite scene in the whole series. So if you have not seen Bosch, check it out. You've got, I think, seven seasons to watch, and then three of Bosch Legacy. Yeah. And my buddy Scott here, who has spent some time with us, is in every season. I think you're the only cast member to do that, Scott. So congrats. Yeah. And hey, this was fun tonight, buddy. Let's do it again. Good luck with the new season. And I'll give you a ring tomorrow.
Petey, please do. And tell Joe and Kate I said hey.
You got it. Same to Flynn and Delaney, buddy. Have a great
night. All right, buddy. You too. Bye-bye.
Scott Klase, ladies and gentlemen. Check out Bosch. He does great work on that show and everything he's in. He's a really phenomenal actor. It was fun. Conrad, how are we doing?
We're doing good. Got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds to what? We just got here.
To the great...
Oh, not till the show's over. Okay.
To the great
news. All right. we're coming right back with Rob Thomas from CityCast Madison. And we're going to talk movies and TV like we always do. And it's a blast with Rob. Stick around, folks. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I talk to you in the night, in the dream of
love so true. I talk. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right. We are barreling through a really, really sucky spring night here in Wisconsin. Or maybe you love it. I don't know. I did just look out the window. It looks so ominous. Conrad, are you getting freaked out?
Yeah, it's getting a little scary out here. I mean, even the kegger we're throwing, we're all getting scared, you know?
Yeah. Just make sure the place is clean when I get back there tomorrow. Kate from the 715 says, Olympic gymnastics. Answering our question, what is your favorite sporting event? That's a good one too. I don't know. It's another sport. I don't know how they do that. What they do. I don't even know how they practice doing backflips on a 4-inch beam. How is that possible? But again, I watch it. I appreciate it, but it doesn't have the freneticness or something that like the, I said, there's no wrong answer, but here I'm comparing everybody's text to the tournament, which isn't right either. So, these are all phenomenal answers. Paula, Conrad's mom, checks in and says, I used to think golf was really boring to watch, but since I have been learning how to play, I enjoy it. The new TGL golf in the arena is also fun to watch. What's that, Conrad?
It's like a huge simulator. Oh, okay. A massive screen, and they actually have like sand hit out of. They have a massive like putting surface. So yeah, nice. It's really cool. It's on Mondays and Tuesdays, I believe.
Sounds a little bit like Wii Golf, which I'm a huge fan.
You might have to check it out.
I'm going to have to check it out. All right, let's move on here. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show one of our favorites here. He does. He joins us from time to time to talk movies and TV, and he does great work as a film critic in Madison and for the CityCast Madison newsletter, where he's the editor, and he joins us now. Rob Thomas. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
Doing very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. It is a little ominous out, but...
Are you getting this in Madison, too? Is it rain or snow?
It turned a little bit to snow. It's a little icy out there, but it was just like... It feels like it's been night all day. Kind of days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of cozy.
Put like a good scary movie on or something and get a fire going or something.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
Hey, it's great to have you. Do you have a favorite sporting event, Rob?
sporting event.
Yeah. Like Super Bowl, golf, baseball, World Series, NCAA, that kind of thing.
I like the Winter Olympics, I got to say, because they're sort of the kid brother of the regular Olympics. So, you know, it's like we're going to do everything the Summer Olympics do, but on ice.
And yeah, right.
So I'd say Winter Olympics would be mine.
Okay. Yeah. Very well done. And then I thought of you. Our question last night was, what was your favorite frozen pizza? I don't know if you knew this or if I'm feeding you a story here for CityCast Madison, but actually it's already been done in Up North News. So I don't want to sound like I'm plagiarizing, but Wisconsin is the frozen pizza capital of the world. And our question last night was, what's your favorite frozen pizza? Do you have one of those?
Interesting. I think DiGiorno has a croissant crust pizza. That's a pretty good pizza. We can find that, we'll get that croissant crust. But then honestly, you can't beat like one of those hubcap Totino's, you know, trashy $2 frozen pizza sometimes. There's nothing like it. Yeah.
I think when I was a kid, there was a Red Owl after we moved to Marinette. And it was just down the street. And I want to say, if I'm remembering this correctly, Totino's was the pizza you bought on a summer afternoon. We'd pitch in 50 cents each and you could buy it. They were like 99 cents and they tasted like cardboard with pepperoni on it. And it was delicious.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. It was so thin. It was probably thinner than the cardboard sleeve it came in. And yeah, nothing like it.
Great choice. Hey, so let's turn to the biz, as we so often do. What is going on? You mentioned this when we were exchanging texts earlier. What is going on? Jeff Bezos owns the James Bond, or is it MGM Prime that bought the James Bond franchise?
So, yeah, Prime, Amazon Prime, which I guess Amazon also owns MGM now.
Yeah.
So they've owned MGM for the last couple of years, but they basically purchased creative control of James Bond, like the IP. I think it was for like $1 billion. So it was like a super villain level of cash. And and they bought it from Barbara Broccoli, who was the daughter of Cubby Broccoli, who kind of, you know, during the Sean Connery and Roger Moore years, he was kind of the producer. He owned it. She got it after he died. And so it's kind of been in the family for generations. And then Bezos basically said, name your price, and she said $1 billion. And she still will make money off it. She just can't make any creative decisions anymore about who will be James Bond, or, you know, will it be a series on Amazon, or will it be a movie, or, you know, or both. So a lot of James, I'm sort of mixed about it. I wrote a piece on my not that Rob Thomas Substack about like managing James Bond, where Jeff Bezos was the Blofeld, and like, you know, maybe billionaires who want to run the world get a bad rap and you shouldn't be too hard on them, 007. But I don't know. I think there are interesting things you can do. Like Amazon has, you were mentioning Bosch in the last segment, and
yeah,
and Reacher, and they did, I think, a pretty good job with the Jack Ryan, the Tom Clancy.
Right.
So I think they could probably do a good, there's some interesting things they could do. I still think they should do big theatrical movies the way James Bond's meant to be seen, but they could do some kind of fun stuff, you know, a money series or something like that, you know?
That's interesting.
We'll see. Yeah.
Or even, I don't think we've ever seen the prequel, James Bond, how he became 007, maybe something along those lines. But well, a billion bucks. I mean, even though Bezos probably had it on him, he still wants to make that back, right? I mean,
I don't know. Yeah, chump change. But or have a James Bond that's set in like the 50s, right? Or
right.
Something like that, or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's lots of ideas. Bring Pierce Brosnan back as old Bond, retired Bond or something, you know?
There's, right.
So.
I love it.
So
That was partly because of Jeff Bezos, though, is why we had to sit through that Bond tribute at the Oscars.
But, oh, my gosh.
What the heck?
I'm a huge James Bond fan. And I was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
10 minutes of this. Yeah.
Rob Thomas is here, folks. We're going to do the news, and then we'll come back and talk to Rob about some of the TV and movies he's been watching. And we'll talk a little bit about the Wisconsin Film Festival, too. That's all coming up after Civic Media's news team keeps you informed. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tomorrow night, joining us here at Nightlight will be comedian and TV host Mike Toomey. He'll make the popcorn pick of the week at 6:35. Then joining me in studio, magician Lou Lepore. He's going to do some magic tricks.
I'm nervous.
Are you? What do you think? He's going to make you disappear, cut you in half or something? Wear something pretty. So that's tomorrow night on Nightlight. Very exciting. We're having a nice chat here with our friend Rob Thomas. You can follow him on Twitter at Rob, what is your I always just type it in and I know it, but how can people find you there?
I kind of left Twitter. I mean, I don't think I canceled my account, but I've been on there in a while.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah, I'm on I'm on Blue Sky, but I can't remember my handle. I think it's
I looked for you on Blue Sky today and I couldn't find you. I was going to promote the show here tonight.
Yeah, I got to get better about it. I think I left Twitter and then I sort of only tiptoed back over to Blue Sky. So yeah.
So far, Blue Sky is still okay. But it still reminds you, even though it's not toxic, it still reminds you of all the crappy stories going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I'm tiptoeing.
Yeah, but you can check out Rob's work at CityCast Madison Newsletter. He's the editor, does a great job there. And his Substack, Not That Rob Thomas, where he can you can read his movie reviews and all kinds of fun stuff. So let's talk a little bit about what did you think, Rob, of Mickey 17?
You know, I've been going back and forth on that one because I love the director, Bong Joon-ho, like Parasite, his last film, which won the Best Picture. Like, that's the movie I walked out of and just instantly, I was like, that's the Best Picture of the year. I mean, just a perfect movie. And I thought South Korean filmmaker, he's made 3 or 4 English language movies in addition to Korean language movies like Parasite. And they've all been kind of over the top. Like, it's the idea of Mickey 17 is it's like a sci-fi satire where Robert Pattinson plays this low-level worker whose job is basically to die. Like, he's in this ship in outer space. They send him down to check the atmosphere. If it's poisonous, he dies. They just print another one out. And, you know, and so...
Good gig.
Yeah, so, right. It's like a 3D printer. Yeah. And then, so that's why it's called Mickey 17, because this is the 17th version. And so there's a lot of good stuff in there, but it's also very long and kind of gets to these other subplots and characters that don't really pay off in any way.
Right.
So I was really mixed on. I think I would need to see it again to give it a straight up thumbs up or thumbs down, but I had high hopes in it. It didn't quite reach them for me.
I would agree. That's a great synopsis, actually, because I thought I went to see it with my wife. She didn't like it at all. I hung in there with it, and I liked the second hour more than the first, but Robert Pattinson, oh my God, the way he chose to play that character or was directed to play that character with that voice, really hard to watch. And I agree with you that it was kind of long. I watched another of his films called, what's the one with the river? The Host.
Great movie,
but Rob, I would say that movie could have been 20 minutes shorter.
Okay, like, sure.
They go away from the monster for so long, and it's such a cool monster. And,
right.
You know, this family is so fun to watch. But, yeah, I would say, and I don't remember thinking that in Parasite, so Parasite must not have had those issues, or at least they didn't bother me as much. But
yeah, I felt Parasite was just perfect. There's another one he did on Netflix. I think it's pronounced Okja, O-K-J-A. And Mickey 17 reminded me a lot of it. It has Jake Gyllenhaal. I think Tilda Swinton plays two roles in it, if I'm not mistaken. Same kind of thing where it's like big over-the-top science fiction satire. Hit some good points, has some good jokes, interesting visuals, but then also takes a long time to kind of get where it's going.
And, yeah.
You know, so... A little disappointing, yeah.
I am anxious to see. I have not seen this yet. You've seen it. Novocaine. Tell us about Novocaine. Kind of a cool premise.
I thought that was super fun. Yeah. It's an action comedy. It reminded me a lot of this movie Jason Statham did 20 years ago called Crank, where he played this guy. I'm trying to remember the premise, but it was like he had to keep his heart rate up above a certain level or died or something like that. And so it's a action movie, but it's almost like a live action cartoon. And in Novocaine, Jack Quaid is this great actor. He was in that movie Companion a couple of months ago. He's the son of Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan, but he's great on his own. Plays this guy who cannot feel pain. He has this genetic condition where, you know, he puts his hand in hot water, he bites his tongue, he can't feel pain. Instead of being like a superhero, he's this very cautious guy because he could really hurt himself because he doesn't have pain receptors. Anyway, he gets drawn into this thing where his new girlfriend gets kidnapped by bank robbers, and it becomes this like super violent but very funny action movie because he, you know, the bad guys are hitting him and, you know, doing all these things, and he just doesn't feel a thing. Like, and it's just really very clever with the premise. And he's just so funny. He's this kind of normal guy who's just sort of, his only superpower is he can just take a lot of punishment because he doesn't really feel it.
That reminds me of Homer Simpson when he boxed Mike Tyson, and his only redeeming quality was that you could beat the hell out of him.
Right. Exactly. You know,
yeah. But he couldn't hurt you. But yeah, Jack Quaid is he was in The Boys too. Very likable and a Nepo baby, but he's a good everyman, I think. I am excited to see the film, Novocaine. What else was I gonna ask you about? Oh, Last Breath. This one kind of confused me because it's been out for like a couple weeks now, but they didn't release it to critics till kind of late, and I thought that was a bad sign, but everyone I've talked to loves it.
Yeah, I saw it. I think I've told you I'm a fan of the mystery movies that Marcus and AMC do on Monday nights sometimes. And this is a mystery movie I saw. I thought it was great. Based on a true story, and the director directed a documentary version of the same story and has now done a fictionalized version with Woody Harrelson. And so it's very grounded in reality and telling the story of this diver, this group of divers who work on the undersea, like oil lines that run at the bottom of the ocean in the North Sea. And there's this accident, there's a storm, there's malfunction, and one diver gets basically stuck down there for minutes without oxygen. And it's about, you know, him trying to survive. It's about the people up on the ship trying to get to him. It's about, you know, the other divers are sort of on the diving bell trying to figure. And I thought it was really suspenseful and well done, well acted, you know, and really made you scared of being underwater. Like I would love to see the making of, because I'm sure they shot a lot of this underwater, and it really is pretty terrifying. I didn't really think about it that much, but it's like, you know, you got a few minutes of oxygen and that's it, buddy. I mean, there's no,
yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm scared to death of underwater anyway. I mean, it creeps me out to begin with. What I did like about this film, Rob, and I hate to say this because so many movies I've seen this year have been so long. It's
right.
Like the producers, directors, whomever are so happy with what they do. They don't want to cut anything. And this film, if I recall, is only like an hour and a half long.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very tight. That's also why I want to see Black Bag. Cause that's
Let's talk about that. What have you heard? It's getting good reviews. It's Steven Soderbergh, a spy thriller. It sounds great.
Fantastic reviews, fantastic cast. The director, Steven Soderbergh, like you say, the writer is David Koepp. Great screenwriter, Jurassic Park, UW graduate who's actually coming to the Wisconsin Film Festival in a couple of weeks with another film.
Yeah.
But it's a spy thriller with Cate Blanchett, Michael Fassbender, Pierce Brosnan, and it looks fantastic. And again, it's like 90 minutes. And it's, you know, it's like there's no fat on that thing, it looks like.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see it. It's the kind of... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. You please continue.
Oh, I was kidding. Like, we're always like, I wish they would make movies for grownups. And this is that kind of movie.
Yeah.
So if you like that kind of movie, you should go out and see it while it's still in theaters.
That's great. Have you seen anything TV-wise, Rob? Is there anything you could recommend to binge watch?
Well, my wife and I are trying Severance. She's very against it. It's one of those shows I've really wanted to watch, but she's been sort of iffy on it. So we're a couple of episodes in. It's fantastic, which everybody knows, I'm sure, because they're already finished the second season. But that's really good. A more under the radar show that I watched the first episode of is called, I think it's called A Thousand Blows. It's on Hulu. It's by the guy who did Peaky Blinders.
Oh.
And it's also set in Victorian times. And it's about these two immigrants from Jamaica who get into the underground boxing scene in London in Victorian times, and they meet up with this female thief. She leads this gang of lady thieves, and I don't know who that actress is. She's phenomenal. Like, she's so good. I got to find out who she is, but I got hooked from the first episode. I think it's only like a 6-episode miniseries or something like that.
I love those too.
So it's another one where the time commitment is not, you know, punishing. So I'm excited to follow that one up.
I've heard so much great stuff about Severance, but then I read what it's about and I'm like, is this up my alley? But it's gotten to the point where so many people love it, I have to check it out. And Adolescent too, everybody's raving about that, the new Netflix show. And it involves kids and I don't know, but I'm going to have to break down and watch both of these.
In every episode is like a single shot or something like that. Is that what I read about?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
they
wow.
shoot everything in one take, which sounds fascinating. Yeah.
Okay. Rob Thomas is my guest. We're talking TV and movies. He is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor and does great work. Follow him at Not That Rob Thomas Substack and read all of his reviews. They're very informative and always fun to read. What do you know about this De Niro movie? Rob, it's not reviewing well. The Alto Knights. He plays both Frank Costello and I think Vito Genovese plays two roles. It's not reviewing well, though.
Well, I'm curious just because it's so weird. Like,
right.
You can't find, you know, Harvey Keitel's busy. You can't hire him for, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Where's Joe Pesci?
Role,
yeah.
Because, you know, Robert De Niro could spread around a little bit and give that to somebody else.
Right.
But it's directed by Barry Levinson, who is a great director who hasn't made a movie in ages, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if he still has kind of the chops. Like, he made, Good Morning Vietnam and Bugsy. Like, in the 80s and 90s, he was a very hot director and then kind of fell off. So
he gave Adrian Brody a role. What was it called? Baltimore Heights or something like that. It was
Liberty Heights.
That was the first thing I had seen Adrian Brody in, and I thought he was great. And I've always been a Barry Levinson fan, you know.
Yeah. So I'll give it a shot just for him, I think.
Yeah. Same. Let's talk about the Wisconsin Film Festival a little bit, Rob. You did a great article for CityCast Madison talking about some of the films that we're anticipating. What do you think looks like something that would intrigue you as a critic or just a movie fan for that matter?
There's a lot. There's like 170 films over 8 days. There's some screenings that have sold out right away. There are others that are more sleepers. There was one, a documentary about cheese called Shelf Life. It's sort of like about the almost like the philosophical love of cheese that looks really, really good. Oh, wow. There's a crazy looking Nicolas Cage movie called The Surfer, which looks really fun. There's a lot of really interesting movies.
Boy, Nicolas Cage, this guy has been like in every movie. Like that's one of his, is that new? I've never even heard of that.
It's new. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He plays, this guy, it's like a thriller. He plays this guy who comes back to the beach town where he grew up. Like I think it's in Australia. He's now a tycoon. He's bought a house, brought his son, and he's bullied by the local surf dudes. And so it's sort of like a psychological thriller.
Huh.
It looks like one of his, trademark kind of wild performances, I think. Right. Really interesting. Yeah.
That's cool. All right. We're talking with Rob Thomas. We're going to take a very short break and he will help us or spend a couple more minutes with us. Rob, I might ask you about another big event happening at the Wisconsin Film Festival that I noticed was absent from CityCast Madison. So I'll give Rob a hard time about that when we come back after this very short break. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Talking with our pal Rob Thomas, who joins us from Madison tonight on this crummy evening, and we're getting it statewide. It sounds like it's just about everywhere. So hope you're staying safe out there. Rob is with us for a couple more minutes here. Rob, we were talking about the Wisconsin Film Festival, which starts April 3rd. What do you know anything about this film, A Road at Night? I have the director John Roach coming on the show next week to discuss it, and it sounds really like it hits very close to home here for Wisconsinites.
Yeah, super powerful documentary, and Badgers basketball fans may know the story of Howard Moore, who was a basketball star at the Badgers and then became an assistant coach. And then his family was involved in this awful car accident a few years ago. And it follows his story, and I don't want to give too much away. But I saw the trailer for it at the film festival, and it looks really powerful. And of course, John Roach is a staple in Madison, writes for writer, co-wrote The Straight Story, the David Lynch film. So I'm really interested to see the documentary. It sounds like it's going to be really powerful.
He's on the Wisconsin Film Festival episode of Director's Cut on PBS that will be out March 31st. And I had a chance to talk to him before I interviewed him on TV. I didn't know this, and I don't know that you know this or that you would know this, but when he was a TV producer in Chicago and I was in college, he created a show called The Sports Writers on TV.
Oh, these old, I know that show. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like such a, I felt like it was ahead of its time. I was glued to it. Like these old guys smoking cigars, talking about sport. It was like pre-sports radio, you know?
Yeah. And they were like they looked like they were on Central Casting.
Yeah.
Sports Writers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. I had no idea because I lived in Chicago in the 90s and would be transfixed by those guys as well. Yeah.
Yeah. He's an interesting guy. So I'm excited to talk to him. And then the other one I wanted to ask you about was Milk Punch. That sounds interesting. It's a 25th anniversary screening.
Yeah. And that's a movie it was at the 2000 Wisconsin Film Festival. And I've got like a VHS screener of it somewhere. But it was shot in and around Madison, this, kind of super low budget indie comedy. And so the director, Eric Gunnison, and a lot of the crew and cast are coming back for this anniversary screening. I'm excited because honestly, aside from the film being entertaining, like you just will get a chance to see Madison It doesn't exist anymore. Places like OK's Corral and all these places that have, you know, closed or burned down or whatever. So it's going to be a real time warp.
Nice. All right. Here's the one other event. I hope you can make it, Rob. My sometime writing partner, Greg Liana, is screening his original Meet the Parents, which went on to become, you know, the big, I think one of the highest grossing live action franchises anyway, with Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro, Meet the Parents. But Greg shot an indie film in Chicago, like in 1989, before I even knew him. It's hilarious, much darker than the studio version. He's going to show that at the Barrymore at 1 o'clock on Saturday, April 4th. And I'm going to host the Q&A and introduce the film. So yeah, I've talked to Greg about it a few times on the air here and on Director's Cut. So that will be a fun event for people looking for something to do Saturday afternoon at the film festival.
That's great. And yeah, those Barrymore screen, that's a big theater. So, that's great. It's going to be super fun to see with a big crowd. I don't think for most of those, you have to worry about them selling out. So, you know, if you don't get tickets in advance, you can probably just walk up and get a ticket. And they have the best popcorn in town at the Barrymore, I will say too. So,
really? You know what? Oh, yeah. I've been there so many times, I've never had their popcorn.
It's the old school popcorn. You got to get it. Yeah.
Are you, do you get like a pass? Do you review movies that are there? Or do you just kind of go as a fan?
I got passes for a few films and, you know, back in the day, I would hit like four movies a day and write about them all.
Isn't that great?
It's fun. You know, you miss your family, but so I'm gonna take it more casually this year. But I think I'll write something, you know, almost every day for my Substack and stuff that I see.
Yeah,
so there's just so much good stuff. Yeah,
fantastic. Well, we'll be looking for that. Keep up the great work. Always fun to talk to you, buddy. And if I don't talk to you before, I'll see you at the festival.
Yeah, it'll be great to run into you, Pete.
Yeah, likewise. All right, thanks, Rob. Have a great night. All right. Stay warm and stay dry, people. That was Rob Thomas. I'd like to thank him for being on the show, as well as my friend Scott Clace. Always fun to talk to Scott and find out about some of the roles that he's played over the years. And thank you for all your texts. That was a good question, Conrad, don't you think?
Yeah, it was. It was great.
Are you giving me the thumbs up?
Yeah, we'll say that.
I didn't miss any texts, did I?
I don't believe so.
Okay, good. So what are you going to do now? It's freezing outside. The roads are bad. Did you have trouble getting there tonight?
No, actually, I got here around 2:30, so it wasn't terrible when I got here.
I want to tell you something, too. When we're both parked in the garage, you got to let me know, because last night I said, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. And I went under that chain, and as I'm walking to my car, I heard the chain go up and crash down again. And I thought I was about to be jumped. So I'm looking over my shoulders, and then I see that it's you. I'm like, why didn't he just say something? We could have formed a safer in numbers group as we walked to the garage in downtown Green Bay.
I don't have to do that tonight. My car's right outside. I don't know. I should have parked in the garage, though, because my car's full of snow now.
Oh, that'll be fun. tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you can join us. We'll have Mike Toomey here at 6:35. He's going to make the popcorn pick of the week. He is a WGN morning show host and a great comedian. And then local magician Lou Lepore joins the show in studio, and he's going to talk about Wisconsin native Harry Houdini. And we hope you can join us tomorrow night, too, and be part of the show like you always are. It makes it so much more fun. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin. Yeah, I'll take me to your best friend's house. I love you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.